it's not fair because I don't believe that man was locking up for thieving his still neither or for smoking a spliff. But what I would also say to you is that I know in the same way that my views on the death penalty, I oppose it. And I know that I am in a minority of about 10 or 20% of Barbadians that feel that way. So, but it doesn't mean that my view is not, you know, my view is not, is any different.
Are you ever in on the death penalty? Are you ever in on
that? Good to see that. Maybe I come in, you're coming around to my side.
But I never say that. Okay, let me put it this way. I'm wavering on the death penalty. Mm. So don't leave me going to throw you death penalty. Let us deal with what is.
You might waver on the issue of locking up people too. But I can tell you, based on what I am seeing here today on the chat and in terms of the emails, Barbadians feel that somebody want locking up. There's so many messages I'm seeing here that people are saying that they disagree with me and they agree with you that somebody want locking up.
But Peter, and even if you don't lock them up, somebody should get shame, and if they've got any money, take it from them and leave them like a pauper. Even if you are putting them in prison, something has to be done.
I can tell you, I personally think that there will be something akin to an investigation of one of them. I think so. Because I do believe that it is reflective of what public opinion thinks, and public opinion is clearly supportive of somebody being prosecuted.
And let me finish my contribution, Peter, by saying this. I like Mayor Motley because I know I have a direct line to Mayor Motley pocket. You understand what I'm saying? And I know Mayor Motley from when she was going to school, she and her father and Barney Lynch father, and Lynch father, Barney Lynch, used to go with my sister. Her husband evening, he used to pitch up one day some Big Mo whiskey in them days. In the 70s, they talking about. So I know those Motleys from as far back as that time. But I want to tell you, Miss Motley, this, that she promised the people government, right? Mm-hmm. And if she promised the people that sincerely and don't do nothing about it, she can find herself in some problems. And I really don't want that because I want to see the DLP in the wilderness for a minimum of 25 years.
Mm-hmm. Point taken, sir. Right. And I want to thank you. Caller is saying, Peter, people are being confused between immoral and illegal. Something may be ugly and immoral, but not illegal, and therefore cannot be prosecuted. I don't expect any trials or convictions.
I just want to insert here, Peter, and I want the callers and listeners to be very careful with this. You cannot accuse people of the kind of statements that you're making without evidence to back it up. This station has faced lawsuits from people, and small numbers of people, including 30 people, can sue. An entire cabinet has sued this company already. So when you talk about criminal, be very careful the comments you make, please. The producers are the ones who go home when the lawsuits fall. My fingers are getting tired.
Well, there you have it, chapter and verse from the producer. Dr. Brastatz, good morning. Good morning and welcome. Good morning and welcome. You're on the air. Okay. All right. Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Morning, ma'am. How are you doing?
I've been waiting so long to get you.
Well, it's good to hear you. I'm happy that you finally got through.
to do a meaningful contribution.
This is Miss Africa?
Yeah, sure.
How are you, dear?
I'm fair.
Good.
Kind of frustrated that when I call the program, sometimes all I get is a puff from the phone. Sometimes it will ring 8 times in a puff. I try again, and before it ring, it will puff me. But I've been trying some disconnections of extensions. I've been trying to even the
technology. Well, you're with us now, so please tell us what your submission is this morning, ma'am.
One or two of your callers, they say they want to weigh in on an issue, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I want to weigh in on an issue. Let me make it short. Let me say the last before I get to the first. I suppose that Reverend Avery started in his religion from like a Sunday school boy and went up the ranks. The last time he was in, he was Reverend Adderley. Now he's Bishop Adderley. And this is my suggestion to his problem. From that news came, I think Thursday night when he announced himself as leader of an opposition. I don't know of any third party, but I know of two. I know Democratic and Labour Party. Right, so I would like to know which is the opposition that he is representing. But to put an end to it, this was what my suggestion to it all is that his church should be closed down from Thursday night and let him go in there and preach to the four walls. His parishioners should desert him without hearing. You know, that is how I feel. Now, if what is done on earth that the prayer says is done in heaven, he can go ahead and do what he do, and the people of the country who have spoken could agree with him that he could do anything. Mm. He won't be prime minister. Well, he's sure that he won't be prime minister. This is very confusing to me. I don't understand Christianity in that light. I don't understand it. I understand Christianity like blackness and light. You're either pure black or you're pure white. That means that we have not studied religion and Christianity as we should. We follow a religion and a Christianity that was given to us. We black people left our religion, or it was borrowed from us or taken from us in the mother country. And we accept a religion and a Christianity that came out of slavery. It is going on. It's going on strong. Whenever the Pope gets a chance, he goes to Africa. He makes sure that it goes. My brother goes to Africa. And all day, all night, these people with their false religion are doing everything. Mr. Adderley don't understand what happened to us the last 7 years.
Okay. Thank you for calling, ma'am. I got a WhatsApp message here from someone saying that I don't think a politician should be prosecuted. They should be put in the square and let Beijing come and look at them. I think that is the modern equivalent of hung, drawn, and quartered. And I don't know if I would want to encourage people to go down that road either. Is it good morning or welcome? How you doing?
Sir Vikram.
Yes, sir. How you doing?
Not too bad, sir.
Uh-huh.
It is more important to show cooperation and understanding with the new government and don't be sidetracked because of Bishop Adderley's crossing the floor to become the new leader of the opposition. Mm. Yes, it may surprise some, but if we have to reflect, Bishop Adderley was always a faithful member of the Barbados Labour Party, and he never shared the views of the Fervent Four. I said before, one seeks to be a parliamentary representative, not to be a minister. I don't know the thinking of the leader of the opposition, the Honourable Bishop Adderley, but it is my belief he had reflected on the election which was held in Grenada in 1999, when Dr. Keith Mitchell won all 15 seats. And all seems well until mid-year in the month of June 2000, when I think it was Michael Baptiste crossed back over to the GOP and became leader of the opposition. It's in my opinion, sir, that Bishop Adderley's desire is to make his last term of office so as to concentrate on his ministry of religion and not to leave politics. And in other words, he wants to leave politics as being unbeaten, where he can look prestigious as the leader of the opposition. And I think, sir, what people may not realize, he has averted the constitutional amendment, whereas like the governor general will have to step in to have amendments. I don't know what you have to say to that,
no,
sir.
I mean, I think your submission is reasonable, sir. And I want to thank you for having made it. I appreciate the call. I believe we have a familiar voice on the line. This is Mr. Latouche. No? Okay, another caller. Good morning and welcome. Yes, good morning and welcome. Okay, skip that one. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Peter. How are you doing?
I'm good. And I noticed that you're calling early enough today that you can have a good 10 minutes before we go to the regional roundup.
What? How wonderful.
Speak, thy servant
Listen,
heareth.
sometimes I find some of you argue some things logically, but then don't take them to the logical conclusion, in my opinion, in some things.
Mm-hmm.
The issue with some person being locked up, it isn't just about trying to correct a wrong or trying to get back money or something like that. There, sometimes it's about sending a message. Sometimes it's about showing that, telling people that there are consequences, that if you take responsibility, if you're given responsibility for something, that is, especially dealing with people's money, there is a certain level of accountability and responsibility that you have to take account for. And therefore, there are penalties for not doing that. And one of the weaknesses that we have had in our Constitution, in my opinion, for a long time, is that there are expectations of individuals in who assume office under the Constitution to behave in an honorable manner. And there are no penalties for a person that does not behave that way, because there's an expectation that anybody who is going to come forward to do that, to represent people, is going to behave honorably. Mm-hmm. So therefore, it's not just a matter of the expense that might be involved in trying to get back money or what sort of, that sort of thing. Because you don't have to necessarily go around the lines of that audit to that degree. That what you call it? You gave the term for it. But you can, it's just a matter, yeah. Right. You don't have to go down that entire road. It is just a matter, A, you show that wrongdoing was done. This is the person who has done the wrongdoing, and as such, there's a penalty to be taken for that.
But if your suggestion of a wrongdoing, I didn't want to interrupt you, but if your suggestion of a wrongdoing is that it was a financial wrongdoing, and the only way you can prove that is by doing a forensic audit.
No. Just a second. The audit will take me all the way down to show me exactly where money went or what have you.
Right. But if I say that you're a thief, right?
The mismanagement itself does not necessarily have to end up with a situation where I know exactly where everything went.
No, but the mismanagement is not illegal.
No, but just
if I say that you are a poor manager, you've paid the price for that already because you lost the election. If I say that you're a thief, that's a different story.
But hold on, Peter.
The only way that I could prove that you're a thief is if I find the money that you thief?
No, just a second. No.
I'm sure that you thief it?
Peter, if somebody come and break into your house and thief something, and you know that they thief the money or whatever, the police can investigate and find that they thief the money. They don't necessarily know where the money end up.
Right, but if you don't know, but so if somebody breaks in my house and steals a video, right? Yes. The best way for me to prove that the person thieved the video is for me to have the video marked and found.
No, just a second. No, you're dealing with the best way. We aren't dealing with necessarily the best way. Okay? I'm dealing with a way in which the evidence of wrongdoing is...
like fingerprints.
Right, well, by whatever.
Right. The problem is that there don't be fingerprints. Right, but there don't be fingerprints in government.
But no, just a second.
You don't get fingerprints on files and things. They don't be that. So the only way you can say that somebody thief money is if you find it.
Peter, there's signatures on documents.
The politicians don't sign nothing.
Peter, the point of the matter is that investigations can be done. The same way that the public, that the audit that's done every year, that can show that there is money which is not accounted for in certain areas or whatever, or questions as to how certain things are done, that can also be investigated and highlighted. And you have made the assumption to start that that politicians don't say anything, or that you can't find any evidence of wrongdoing. Okay? And that is wrong. That is left for the investigators to do. Mm-hmm.
Anyhow, sorry, Nikita, we're going to have to run. As I said, I tried to give you as much as time as possible to make the point. And this is a conversation that we're going to continue to have. A lot of different views on it. And I think that yours is certainly one that's worthy of consideration. Anyhow, we're going to have to run. We have to take a break for the regional roundup. Do stay with us. We come back to you in about 10 minutes and we continue with more of Don Brass Talks. Which ones?
Of course.
Oh, okay.
But yeah. I'm not a member of the Barbados Labour Party, but I'm helping them out. I will be sending a letter off to the Prime Minister of Barbados, Mia Motley, QC, the granddaughter of the late Dighton and Ruby Motley, to let her know that Mr. Arthur, will be no longer conducting any government business on behalf of St. Michael's Best. So we'll be holding a meeting starting soon at St. Larry's School. I will also be signing off a letter to Reverend Offaly.
Mia's father is Elliot, huh?
I said Mia's grandfather.
Oh, the grandfather?
Yeah. Okay. Dighton and Ruby Motley. Okay. But anyhow, the premise of Barbers will be informed about the action that we take.
Right. So let me be clear. You're saying that you want to hold a meeting next week with the constituents.
Not next week.
Right. And this is not the BLP constituents, but this is all the constituents.
No, this is Michael West.
St. Michael West constituents, right. But this is not BLP constituents. This is any St. Michael West constituents.
Right.
And you will call a meeting and you will ask for the Prime Minister for representation regarding what? For a representative, basically.
Well, basically what we are doing, we'll be looking at that, and we'll be looking at, there are two people that are interested in representing the interests of St. Michael West.
Namely?
Dr. Carla Haddup, and then there's a gentleman by the name of Corbis Canterbury.
And these are both supporters of the BLP or DLP?
If they are supporters of the MLP or the Price.
Or they're just constituents?
They're just constituents, like anybody else.
Okay.
Right. So we have asked the Reverend Offaly
to come.
We invite him to come to the meeting. Due to the fact that from the next door, she will no longer conduct any business, government business, on behalf of Sir Michael West.
Well,
it's going to be hello. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
Yeah, we will hold this meeting at St. Leonard's School. We invite all the members, all the constituents of Michael West to attend the meeting, and we will give out the further dates. Because we intend that the politicians is not going to do things their way, and year after year, time after time, be standing over and over again.
Right.
We have had enough of this, you see.
Fair enough. The challenge you're going to have, sir, is that there's nothing you can do to force the Reverend to surrender, the Bishop, sorry, to call a by-election and to give up the seat. He's won the seat fair and square, and he is the representative. He is the legitimate representative for that constituency, whether you like it or not. Regardless of which side he serves on or regardless of what orientation he takes on politically, he is still your representative, and there's nothing that you can do to change it. If you want to lobby for constitutional change, that makes a whole lot of sense.
We agree to that. We know that he's...
Yeah, but that's not going to happen in time to
do that. But the point is that we will choose somebody to do business on behalf of Mr. Michael West. If you understand what I'm saying.
What I would encourage you to do, sir, if you are a supporter of the Barbados Labour Party, I'm assuming that the caretaker for the Democratic Labour Party would be the former speaker, Mr. Carrington.
Yeah, Mr. Michael Carrington, right. Was defeated.
I'm assuming that until he states he's no longer coming back, he would be the caretaker for St. Michael West. I would imagine that it would make sense for you to encourage Prime Minister Motley. Prime Minister Motley to identify a caretaker for your constituency as soon as possible. So that supporters of the Barbados Labour Party would have a person to whom they can defer. Supporters of the DLP can have a person to whom they can refer. And now you would want to have a person that you can refer to as a supporter of the Barbados Labour Party to take care of the interests of people in St. Michael West.
Right.
As far as the representation is concerned, Reverend Anthony is still your representative.
Yeah, we can't do anything about that. The other point, Mr. Beckham, You, a lot of people from the third parties, you know that there were three other additional parties that did not contest the last general election. You know that had the Social Democrats, the Christian Democrats, and the anti-establishment Five Star Movement. And you realize that what you said, they were very offended at last week, Tuesday.
I know.
When you said that...
A lot of them told me so.
That you were charged $2,500?
Yeah.
Huh?
It was too little.
Or?
I said 2,500 or 12 or 10,000.
And you realize that they said that if you had a rally party, you would not even get as many votes you yourself as Natalie.
Right, and I
won't. Although you're a political candidate.
And that's the reason why I wouldn't run a party.
Okay.
But you remember when George Bell had the Workers' Party of Barbados, the WPB?
Of course.
WPB were one candidate, and I think he got about 30 votes, if so much.
Well, I told George Bell,
I don't delude myself, sir, that because I'm a political scientist that I would necessarily win an election. And I have always said to people, I know my place.
Okay.
So
give me the opportunity.
But sir, my point is, if you just give me a chance to say it, my point is and will continue to be that if we continue at this rate, we will have probably 100 political parties.
But Lynette Eastman will take up what you said. I'll be insulted.
I understand that. And I would expect that she would feel that way because she, generally speaking, doesn't agree with anything I say. But my point is, I would ask Lynette Eastman, what has she positively contributed to the conversation in Barbados? And I am Natalie's candidacy, and I made a point that if the deposit were up to $2,500 or $10,000, as the case may be, I am sure that Natalie could raise that money quite easily. And to me, the ability to raise that kind of money demonstrates the extent to which people are willing to invest in your candidacy. Now, another route, which is something you didn't comment on, that I mentioned last week also, is that you can have a system that says a person can become a candidate if they are able to secure the signatures of at least 100 people. That way, there's no money, but you have to find 100 people who live in the constituency that are willing to go on the record as saying that they support you. I think that that is also, it's a more cumbersome method because you have to verify that the people actually live there. But certainly that is also a way of ensuring that you don't have what I would refer to as nuisance candidates. So you have two options. If the money offends you, then we can go by way of the signatures. So find 100 people in the constituency willing to support you, or alternatively, then you don't get the nomination. What do you think? Welcome back to Down to Brass Tacks. Remember, we are finishing the program at 1, so we have about 15 minutes remaining. I just want to read this one WhatsApp message to you. It comes from Trisha Watson, formerly host here. Trisha says, Peter, for the public's edification, it would be unconstitutional to prosecute for an act that was not a crime at the time the act occurred. Also, the penalty imposed for a crime cannot be more severe than the penalty enforced at the time of the commission of the crime. And she attached two sections from the Bill of Rights of the Barbados Constitution. She cannot say if any crimes have been committed. It certainly does call for more research. That's a useful point that is being made. Another attorney writes and he says, certainly this is not necessarily corruption, stealing from the state. Poor judgment or making a bad decision is not necessarily a crime. And I was minded to refer to a conversation I had with a leader in another Caribbean country in which he was making the point to me that the state can legitimately offer state lands, for example, at a concessional price in the interest of some larger objective. So if an investor has a considerable amount of money to invest, he may say to that investor, or she may say to that investor, you can have this state land at a fraction of the cost. However, we do this as an incentive because you're going to make an investment of X dollars. Now, the point that was being made is that this is not only legitimate, but it's common practice in many Caribbean states, and you do this to stimulate investment. So Sandals, for example, when they came to Barbados, they were given considerable concessions regarding future tax. When we had Intel in Barbados, it was the same thing. You get a holiday and things of that nature. There should not be an assumption that whenever these things occur, that it is indicative of either corruption or misappropriation of public money or bad governance. It could very well be a decision that is taken in all good conscience. So there are several good reasons why one may offer a concession or a waiver or something of that sort. I think that the presumption that once we identify one of these things as something criminal is a bad assumption to make. Down to Brass Tacks, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mr. William.
Yes, sir, how are you doing?
Hello. Yeah, I'm good. I'm here to
you were saying.
What the first thing, as I was saying to you, I think the first thing we might see is a short-term standby arrangement for about maybe 24 months with the IMF. Because this is necessary, this is important, because in order to restructure international debt, the borrower must be in a stabilization program with the International Monetary Fund. That is important. It must. Right. And then they have to move to the Paris Club to negotiate. That's, you know, what we all use the pattern. Move to the Paris Club to negotiate with the creditors. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So after this we are going to see now, I believe this pattern we might see negotiating a standby arrangement with the IMF. And then, but the conditionalities, I believe, will be fairly severe. Because if you look at, I heard Marlene Duhran was saying just now that we should not cut public debt. Now, I agree that we should not cut the numbers, but I believe that they should amend the law and did what Sir Lloyd Sandifer did in relation to cutting salaries. It's better for a man better to have a half loaf than no loaf.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe that what Sir Lloyd did was they should move in that direction, because I cannot see why you have people, if people go home, they cannot go to the supermarket, they cannot pay the mortgage, they cannot pay the high purchase, and it's going to have a multiplier effect in the economy, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
And we have the damage, especially which we cannot afford at this point in time. So I would think it would make more sense. And in fact, not from political too, because no politician would like to see his constituents go home, because we ice out every morning, look, asking for jobs, you might have to give them. And then, of course, asking for money. So I would think it makes a lot of sense. And I think that cutting salary was a remarkable thing that Zaloy did. And I think we should, people should look at that. You know, because sending home people to me is not... I say that because I know that part of the package will be to cut the public service. That's one that I know is going to happen, right?
Okay.
Hello?
Yeah,
the next
okay,
one
sir.
I think that... Mm-hmm. The next one I think is the pensions. Now, in the budget, the former finance minister said that this year alone, imagine this, pensions was projected to be $270 million. And Mr. Kahn, as you know, pension is paid from revenue. And I can see that is an area that they're going most likely go at. The next one is the government paper. Government has massive amount of debt. Government paper on the different paper on government housing bonds, development bonds, treasury bills, so on, and savings bonds. So that is an area we should see them go after too, because they're interested in cutting the fiscal deficit. And these are areas, they're vital areas that will reduce, you know, the fiscal deficit. So I can see them going at these areas. Then they might look at cost recovery and things like healthcare, like the drug service, right? And also education.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they're in for it. I mean, I'm not saying all these things, but if you look at what is usually done by the International Monetary Fund, and given that I'm making my submission based on the fact that we're not only going for standby arrangement, so Lloyd went for standby arrangement, but he did not go for restructure. You see what I mean?
Okay.
He did not have to go to the parcel for restructure. He only had the standby arrangement for 18 months, and he came out of it. And I think that was fantastic. I mean, at the time, I got a salary cut. And I didn't mind because it was a good country. Right? And we came out in 18 months, and it was a remarkable thing.
Well, let's hope that we'll emerge this time with similar success. All right? Thanks a lot for calling, sir. It was good chatting with you. This is Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon. Good afternoon and welcome. Good afternoon and welcome. You're on the air. All right, I have a comment here. Peter, a DLP representative. Peter, DLP representative, told me that one of the reasons Sandals got 40 years jury-free was because of the advertisement it can give Barbados. Does this make sense to you? And I guess this is a reasonable argument. And another person is saying the transaction. Sorry, computer's a little bit slow today. There are many... Okay, this is Dr. Brastatz. Good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon, Peter.
Yeah.
Very good afternoon to you. Just want to make a brief point.
Sure.
The former Prime Minister, is quoted in his public knowledge, asked, how did we get here again?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think as a member of the citizen bias and taxpayer and electorate, I think we need answers. And nothing less than a judicial inquiry to provide answers, because we own answers, okay? We were not the managers. We are not responsible to direct governance. So we paid our taxes like good citizens, et cetera, et cetera. And as a taxpayer and as a good model citizen, we need to demand answers. What I would like to say is the accounting officers, those public officers with the public purse, trust, and in the public, supposedly to act in the public interest. The accounting officer, I'm talking about the permanent secretaries. What is the role and function of those permanent secretaries? Are they not supposed to act in the public interest? Now, two, what I find, there's also something called breach of trust and confidence, misbehavior in public office, or misconduct in public office, and those things are not to be tolerated. So I think nothing less than a judicial inquiry will alleviate our fears and put these matters to rest. Thank you very much, sir. Have yourself a good day.
All right, sir, thanks so much for your message. Mr. Moderator, Peter Barbados no longer identify elitism, massive or entitlement. It means that we're open society with no more vulnerables among us, and this is a good thing. Bananas are, however, showing their inherent greed and slavish mentality with the constant comparison and belittling of their leaders chosen by them, always questioning their worth, but somehow never questioning if workers are producing a fair works day for a fair works pay. They just need to get real. Down to Brass Tacks. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Peter.
Yes, sir.
P here.
Yes, sir. This is Mr. P?
Yeah.
Okay, how are you doing, sir?
I good.
Mm-hmm.
No.
You were down St. John last night?
Nah. Oh. I I wish her well.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish she come through with everything that she says she can do.
Mm-hmm.
But the one problem I have, I think she should have said that she's going to clean house first and then deal with the other issues, because the house must be clean.
Okay.
And I have no doubt it will be clean. Now, with all the things that was said, all the wrong things that was done, with a country that has so many lawyers, I want to see if any of them is not going to take up the case of the people of Barbados. Right? I mean, I didn't know it was so bad. I never, ever thought it was so bad.
Mm-hmm.
And they would have been part of the richest government in the history of Barbados and more taxes that we have to pay. Right? But something have to be done. And I hope the Attorney General keep his promise that he made to the people.
Yeah, he can look into these matters. Yeah. All right.
Huh? And
you want the matters investigated?
Not only investigated, okay. I want the people's money put back where it was, where it's mm-hmm. supposed to be. That's what I want.
Right. Probably easier said than done.
But it can be done.
Suppose the money's spent already?
Well, people are known to have gone before the law court, so doing wrong things and they spend the money and they're going to do the time.
Okay. Fair enough.
All right.
All right, Mr. P, thanks a lot. I hope to hear from you during the course of the weeks to come. I have an email here I want to read from you. Peter, like you, I doubt anything would be done regarding corruption. However, the management should and can be held accountable for the cost overruns, the quality of service of things like St. John's Polytechnic and done, and persons responsible for overseeing the construction of said building should be held accountable. Sending home without a pension, the management in government is lacking. So the principle of last in, first out is effective. Get rid of the big boys. Down to brass tacks. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Peter.
Yes, ma'am. How are you?
Hi. Good afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
My name is Charmaine Roland-Boyne. I am not calling this
Charmaine,
today.
Hi, Charmaine. How are you doing?
I am great.
Mm-hmm.
I am not calling about road safety today.
Mm-hmm.
I'm calling about something, what is happening now in our country. I am not a politician. I am not an economist. I am not a church leader. I'm just a believer in Christ. And I feel this is the same for each and every one of us, you know, that call ourselves, I should not say Christians, that are members of faith, different faiths across the island, to come together. It is not about blaming persons or who did wrong or who has done wrong or judging one another. It has already done. We can't do anything about it, you know, as Christians, you know, in moving forward. I would like to see that at least the last Sunday in this month, you know, that churches around Barbados, different faiths, whatever, you know, collect a special offering to be presented to our government, you know, which would be, it would have to, they would have to be accountable for it, you know, saying what they're going to do with it. But if each and every one of us, you know, God talk about giving, he talk about forgiveness, so we're not judging persons. You know, it happened, you need to forgive. He talk about love. His two greatest commandments is love God and love your neighbor. And by doing that, we would be showing love not only for our neighbors, but also for our country. So whatever little bit we have, you know, we should put something aside. You know, if we are all in this together, you know, we should put something aside and put it into the offering. The Monday now, it goes into a bank account. You know, each and every church will be accountable for what was collected. And, you know, maybe the list of the churches can be published in the media, so you would know that if you put money for this offering at your particular church, you're looking forward to see that church in the list. And that should be presented, you know, to the bank account and then presented to the government, and the government do, you know, help wherever that can, so that each and every one of us, because if we don't do something, each and every one of us, you know, I mean, some of us may say we pay taxes and so on. That is why I'm calling about the persons. I'm calling upon the persons who are of faith. God, say to practice love, to practice forgiveness, to practice sharing and giving. So, I mean, it is a big call. To you know, Peter,
mm-hmm.
this would be, I'm not putting you on the spot or anything, but to you know, you would see what a loving community we are, you know, in Christians, in Christ, you know, and every person.
I've never doubted that.
All right.
I've never doubted the love and generosity of the church. I had a problem with
all
that.
All right. But even putting this challenge to you, you know, I'm also putting it out there to each and everyone hearing my voice, or each and everyone, even if you don't go to church, go to church at Sunday so that you can make a contribution. Even if you don't have church close to where, give it to your neighbor, your family member to go and put into that offering for you. And if each and everyone...
Not to the church, though. You can make an offering to the work of your church. I contribute to the work of your church quite frequently.
No. I am not talking about the work of the church, but I'm talking about for this special position that we are in, this crisis.
I'm
talking specifically because we want government to be accountable. We want church leaders also to be accountable as well, and we don't get that.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Charmaine, and that's something to think about. I appreciate your call, and maybe we'll chat again. I have a message here from Austin Husbands. He's asking me if the next Peter Wickham column will be about political dynasties, and he's asking this on behalf of two friends of his. And Austin, your comments are profound, and certainly the concept of dynasties and bloodlines is something that I should perhaps pursue in my next column indeed. It's so ironic, Austin. It really is ironic that this is what we've come to, especially after the comments that were made in the last election. But anyhow, so it goes. This has been Brass Tacks. I want to thank all of you who called and made the program what it was. Of course, this format does not work unless we have your calls. And this morning, I had good engagement from the general public, and I thank you for that. Also, special thanks to Mr. Dennis Johnson, who was your technical guru, and your producer, Mr. Corey Lane. Intermittently was your telephonist, and we want to thank Corey for his assistance on the program as well this morning. My name is Peter Wickham. I look forward to being with you next Tuesday for another program of Down to Brass Tacks.